Yeah. So, did you know of the prominent Chinese?
Yeah, prominent Chinese, I do know. Like that the president or the chairman or whatever it is of the Catholic Bank, Wilbert Wu.
Oh.
I know them very well, but I mean we don't.
Wilbert is the president?
Not president. I mean he's the.
I think it's Wilbert Wu, right now the he's a manager or vice president.
Or whatever. I mean something. He's
his father used to I think be also be in the Catholic Bank. Are you talking about his father? Or
which Wilbert Wu are you talking about? There are two of them.
The one. I know that he's presently associated with Catholic Bank.
Catholic Bank, yeah. Because I knew them. My sister married into the Wu family, as a matter of fact, yeah. And then the original Bank of America, I don't know whether he's a teller, he's some kind of an officer, was with Bank of America.
Uh-huh.
But one of his nephews is also named Wu, and he's with the Bank of America.
Oh,
it gets very confusing.
See.
I know Wilbur and I know Jack Lee, you know, when I go to a store, to a shop or something.
Was Jack Lee already prominent back in the 40s?
Well, he may not be prominent, but that was a time when I knew him, and I knew him all this time. But as I said, we don't associate,
mm-hmm.
except that when we see each other, we just say hello and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And James Hao Wong, he was already...
James Wong.
I'm sorry. He was already quite
well
known.
He was respected in our business. Yeah. And Barbara Jean Wong was another.
Hmm?
Barbara Jean Wong.
Barbara?
Barbara, yeah. She was very well known. She was a very fine actress. And she played in a lot of radio things. I think she's a teacher.
Oh.
Yeah.
See.
And those
were
the only Chinese that I knew.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, show business is very strange because you are only as important and successful as your last picture or your last things you say. So it's a continuous thing where you have to be really on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
So therefore, I mean, and it's something that I would say, one might say that I was kind of lucky because my hobby and my work is the same thing. So therefore, I mean, it worked out very well.
Were you aware of what kind of jobs other Chinese usually have before World War II?
Not too well, except what I see in Chinatown.
So for instance?
Well, I mean, in stores, or even laundry, or
Do you go to Chinatown often?
I would go down to eat or something like that. You know.
Once a week?
Well, yes, once a week, sometime more. Oh, in the beginning, we were very frequent. We were there quite frequently.
Uh-huh.
I would say between 36 and 4 through the 40s. As a matter of fact, during my sojourning years, too, I went down to Kuala.
Which was, that's the old Chinatown?
It's on Spring Street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's already changed, because the train station, you know, that was already gone. I mean the Chinatown that was in where the train
mm-hmm.
station was. I don't remember.
And what was it like back then when you went to Chinatown? Describe, did you see what kinds of people, what kind of shops?
It was very sparse, not like now. I mean these streets were, and you practically more or less know everybody. You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know everybody, but at least I know certain store who owns it, and I would say hello to them, you know.
How many stores and restaurants altogether were there?
Oh, I don't know how many, but most certainly not this many today.
Were there maybe 100?
Oh, I don't think there were that many. Let me see. New Chinatown, as the generally, I know them very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the farms, and then a couple of coffee shops. And then the one that I go to, Terry Lowe's, is the Limehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say not more than 15 or 20.
Restaurants or restaurants and shops?
No, shops, there are more shops. I'm talking about restaurants.
Restaurants,
yeah. I'm thinking, you see, because eating was the main thing to go down there, so I'm counting those.
Yeah.
Shops, too, weren't that many. I would say maybe 8 or 9 or 10, and then some smaller ones, you know.
Mm. Did most people, most Chinese, live near other Chinese at that time?
Yes, I would say so.
Where
as a matter of fact, they used to live on, when we first came down here in 37, we stayed with the in-laws, my sister's in-laws.
Where
and
did
that was in 26th Street, near San Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
were there a lot of Chinese there?
Yeah, I would say around there, a good deal of Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew Chinese families, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think across the street there, it was a church, I don't know what, the Chinese church.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some people who asked me to go there, and I went there a couple of times. And
when did you move to Hollywood to live?
I moved to Hollywood.
Or did you move somewhere else?
No, I moved from, from my in-laws, we moved into the USC area, which is the 31st Street.
Also Chinese?
No.
No.
And it was all American, you see.
Any problems getting housing?
No, not that time. Because we moved into a university area.
Oh.
So it was not a problem anymore.
You rented an apartment?
Yeah.
And then?
And then after that I moved into up into Hollywood.
Which year was that?
I moved into Hollywood in
1940. I presume there were very few Chinese.
I was the only Chinese in that whole area, I would say.
Did you have any problems getting housing there?
Well, I would say when I knew this, because my brother stayed at the SC area with his wife, and also his wife's sister came down too, you see. And so there were only, when my brother and I was here, and there was only one bedroom, and I had the living room as the bedroom, and a couch, and he had the bedroom, and when he got married, we were there, and then when his sister and her sister came to town from Fresno, and I moved out as soon as she came to me. And that's when I went up to Hollywood, because it would be closer to work and all that sort of thing, and other activities.
No problem getting housing.
Well, I'll tell you this. I looked at two places, and what happened is that they asked me what I do and what I saw, and I told them.
What did you tell them?
Well, I simply told them where I work, you see. And what happened is, the very next day, there were two places that I was interested in. The very next day, the better one, the one that was like a... it was a unit. This is a
single.
Yeah, not, you know, they're little individual units, one bedroom units. I said, come on, they're very charming in this garden and everything. So this was an elderly lady, and she asked me. He said, "Oh, you do that?" And he said, "Do you need?" I said, "Oh yes, I know Jack Benny and I know those people and things like that." And the very next day, when I went to work, the boss came in. He said, "Well, Victor, you got your apartment."
Oh.
And so she was checking the apartment.
Oh.
So I always remember that. Because I'm keenly aware, I can sense, you know, particularly in when I was thoroughly Chinese in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
people that dealt with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, we come in to the store, and we have very beautiful antiques in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then beyond there, I mean, they had the Chinese, the grocery type, not grocery, I mean, choy and you know, that kind of stuff that is not very appetizing to look at to begin with, you know. Whereby out here is porcelains and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I would remember that these Americans getting there and then people like this and they're very curious.
Look at the
choy. Yeah, the things that are in the back area, you know. So I know all about that. And
was the was your landlady cordial to you after you moved?
Very. She was very nice. She was a lovely, actually, she was a lovely French woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very wonderful. Mm-hmm. I had no problem.
Did you have any problems with the neighbors?
No.
What about China? Did you have any connections with China whatsoever?
None whatsoever. It's a very...
You never wrote or to anybody? You didn't have any relatives there?
I know we had relatives, but when my father passed on, and when my uncle went back to China, and somehow it all got... I remember you said like mother was sending money to people back there, you know, because they're not, some of them are not well off, you know.
Did you keep up with what was going on in China, for instance?
None whatsoever. When I came down here. I never did, you know. Well, I did. I do read the Chinese paper, but it was like for instance. Oh, I remember it distinctly. My mother was very, very enthusiastic doing the Chiang Kai-shek fighting the Japanese. We all bought bonds,
uh-huh,
and things like that. God, I mean, we were every month we have to pay so much. You know, I said, what is? Well, this is good for. And she, with the bond feet, she used to be with the Chinese ladies of Oakland, you know, the mothers, yeah, the mothers club, that's it. They all went down and picketed the sending scrap iron to Japan and things like that. They were very patriotic. I mean, they continue.
When you were here, in say, in 1949, were you aware of the change in government?
Oh, yes, I was. And then, of course, we were very pro Chiang Kai-shek.
Mm-hmm. And then, in other words, did you keep up with what's going on with China those days?
I always had a paper, a Chinese paper. In those days, I didn't
subscribe
to
it.
I didn't subscribe to it then. And not until I was ready to retire from CBS, then I renewed the subscription. Then I started subscribing
to
Zhongzai Bo in San Francisco. You know.
Yes.
And down here is Mei Hua Bo. The reason why I did that is I see two sides of the thing. You know. Zhongzai Bo is very square, very even. I mean, very Zhongzai, you know, because they are they're very realistic. They say, "Gee, I mean, the Chinese, you shouldn't be bothering with the politics. Try to get into the American way of life so that you get a better deal." I mean, it's foolish to be hating each other and batting each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they really are quite honest. And then and my brother-in-law also write things on it, you know, on the journal. Henry Woon, I think he works for
Henry Woon?
Woon, W-O-O-N.
Mm-hmm. Was he involved in politics back in China?
No.
Here?
He's an American. I mean, an American-born Chinese. He's not involved in politics, but I mean, he's been working for the government, I don't know, for the first Department of Education and things like that.
For the American government? Or
yeah, American government.
Oh, I see.
He works for Hugh, you know, health. Now, I mean, it's new now. I don't know what they call himself.
Mm-hmm.
Health, education, and welfare. And
you wouldn't happen to know what, other than what your mother and her friends did, but what normal, regular Chinese working people did here in the 30s and the 40s with the money they earned. Did they send it back to China, or are you not aware?
That I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people here, because when I came down here, I was very single-minded in to make sure that I have a good, what I'm doing, interested, that I would perfect that, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting
because
career.
You see, even myself, when I came down here, and I the picture was a very big thing, motion picture, you know, you get paid very well.
Right.
And after the war, I went back to radio. I just knew radio wouldn't exist in the with the big money that we were getting, you see. So I said, it has to be a picture. And I'm a fairly good artist. And then, did you ever see The King and I?
Yes.
Yeah. I design, I also draw and paint and things like that, you know. And they wanted somebody with Chinese knowledge. And I was hired to work on the picture, Irene Sherrod.
Mm-hmm.
And was a designer. And I designed that whole, the Uncle Tom's Cabin thing, all the things I made those, you know.
Uh-huh.
But then when I found out that...
When was that? What did you do?
That's 57.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I found that out, the moment you're through with that thing, you look for a job again.
Again.
I said, this is nonsense. I want to be employed
like
50. I want to be employed 52 weeks. And then I said, gee, here I can, I knew, because of my war record,
mm-hmm.
I know all three networks, all the vice presidents in there, you see, because they were in our outfit.
Oh, so you got a job because
and I figured, I was basically a director and a producer, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you see, every year, the major studio, major colleges, grind theater arts major out like sausages.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, gee, now it would be the same thing as if I direct, if I do, I'm be working 13 weeks, 26 weeks,
mm-hmm.
or a year at the most. So I said, what do you need that is always necessary in show business? Music.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into music.
Specifically, what did you do in the music department?
I first said I went into it and I was supposed to handle the music just for Gunsmoke and
mm-hmm.
not Gunsmoke Travel.
Those what do you mean handle music?
I select the music.
Selected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then the man knew my record and I wanted to be they are under contract too, you see. They would work so work for that series. If that
mm-hmm.
series drops, up they go and they look for another series. Look for them.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, do you want to run the place? I said, yes, I do.
Okay.
And so I stayed with him until I retired.
Uh-huh. You said you didn't feel any discrimination while you were working in the show business,
no.
Right?
You are. Well, they might make little remarks and things like that, you know.
What kind of remarks?
Well, sometimes they kid you as a Chinese boy or something like that, you know. I remember when I was at McGregor's, I was a director, and they were hiring people. And they used to say, hey, there's a little black boy down at McGregor's, he's this terrific director. Meaning me.
Black boy,
I mean, you see, things like that. There were some of the nasty people, you know, that would do things like that.
Oh.
But then, you see, it didn't bother me, but this was hearsay afterwards, you know.
Uh-huh.
Somebody says, hey, black boy, it was a good friend of mine. I said, what do you mean? I didn't understand.
Uh-huh.
He said, did you know that such and such an idiot said that? And
uh-huh.
I said, well, I said, gee, I didn't think I was that dirty, you know. So
did anybody call you things like Chinaman, anything like that?
No.
So the worst you ever got was Chinese boy.
I'm in a position where I'm hiring people.
Mm-hmm.
So people have been nice to me. You know.
I
always want to be in a position where I hire people. That's it. If you see, if there is a single idea, that is what I get.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Because the moment when you hire someone, then they, even if they don't like you, they don't dare.
Yeah, that's true.
Monkey with
mm-hmm.
you. You see.
Did you ever compare the Chinese way of doing things, for instance, you know, your father's way of running business compared with the Jewish way of doing business?
I would say very close. Only the Chinese much more refined.
Refined?
Yeah, refined.
Well, could you elaborate?
Well, of course, you see, because at the period that I was associating with the Chinese doing business, like in some general, because they were all scholars, I mean, they were all very educated, you see, so they were refined, but they were very sharp. Now,
mm-hmm.
I would say in the Jewish people, I would say show business, the top people, top Jewish people are nice and refined, but the ones who are in between are very crude and rough.
Dealing with people, or?
Well, yes, because they're very aggressive, you see. Both are. The Chinese does seems not to be aggressive, but below they are, basically.
Mm-hmm. So are the Jewish, except
oh, yes.
You can tell
yeah,
they're aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
They're, yes, so I mean they're pushy, you see. Whereby the Chinese are polite, you see.
Oh,
they may
I see.
Be
that's what you mean by refined,
yeah,
they're
refined,
more polite.
Yeah.
Did
refinement
you hear
in their ways.
Did you hear of any anybody else comparing Chinese to Jewish? Or were you the only one that sort of made that comparison?
Oh yes, they do. They do. They would say, oh, they would say, we like you, Juan. He said, we're a minority. You're a sub-minority in this business. I said, well, then we've got to get together. You know.
I see. In general, you were not very involved with Chinese then while you were
I was in, involved with Chinese in a way, as I said, like my sister's family, you know, I mean, when their birthdays or the Chinese New Year's and things like that, I'm invited, and now then I wouldn't invite them, and things like that. But beyond that, the common pursuit of something that's very interesting, then it isn't there, you see, because I'm in the show business, which they don't know about. Now and then I would explain
to them. Were they interested?
They would say, oh, do you know that? No, they respect me because I'm in a total thing.
Something they don't understand.
Yeah, they don't understand. I'm in a total thing, but he's okay, gee, they give him a commission, he must be okay, you know, they're very respectful. And because I talk to them in Chinese, you know, and some of them can even write, you know, and I help them write in Chinese.
Were your sister eager? Was your sister eager to have a son after she got married?
Oh, my sister had two sons, but she passed away when I came down here already.
But in other words, her way of thinking was she was born here, right?
She
was. I mean, born in San Francisco, and was her way of thinking more American? In other words, did she care about?
We were all the same way. I mean, because they all had very fine Chinese schooling. And when she came down, you know, my mother also had interest in a meat market, a packing house, down in Chinatown.
Well, my question was, I was trying to get at whether, you know, the old-fashioned Chinese want to have sons rather than daughters, right?
Oh, I see what
and,
you mean. No, she had two sons.
And but when she was, before she got her first son, did she say anything about hoping to have sons?
Oh, I don't think so. I'm sure one
she
thing...
She doesn't care.
No, I don't think so. Because like my oldest, the picture, that's she had only one daughter, that's all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his second sister, in the picture, that came down here. The one that I'm talking, this is the sister that married into the new family down here. But that, this is the one that you know, saw that she had only a daughter.
She had, one of your sisters had only one daughter?
Yeah, and then the other had two sons.
Does she mind the sister that had only
one
daughter?
No, she doesn't. She's... I don't think we were not that old-fashioned.
What do people
think? I would say grandma was, but I don't think even my mother too wasn't that, in spite of her background, she wasn't that rigid in her thinking, I would say.
What did people think about the interracial marriage, Chinese-American marriage?
I don't have a picture of my other sister here.
But she married,
I think,
American?
So, yes.
She married an American?
Sure.
Oh, I see.
She's
how did your parents react to that?
Only my mother was alive. She lived.
Uh-huh.
Only my mother was alive at that time. I mean, grandmother's passed, because if anybody walked would be my grandmother, you know.
Your mother didn't mind?
My mother passed away already.
But at the time your sister married?
No, I mean, my sister married after my mother passed away.
Oh, excuse me.
So of course we didn't mind.
Uh-huh. Did other people, other Chinese that you knew, did they protest or did they say anything?
I don't know. If they did, they didn't say to us. Because we would have family gatherings and all that.
Yeah, when you had, say, for instance, did your sister take her husband to any of the Chinese family gatherings?
Oh, yes, with our family gathering and all that. And all of them, we just...
Wasn't
yeah.
there any language barriers?
No, he was a very nice guy, and he was very quiet, you know. He was the manager of a clothing store. And my sister was a very fine dress designer.
Mm-hmm.
She designed dresses for like that. I don't know the mention I just thought. But I don't think of her name. Well, anyhow. So, and then afterwards, she was back, she was in I Magnus in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And the other man was Bruce Atkins.
Did you know of any other instances of interracial marriages?
Oh, yes. I'm one of my...
Oh, by the way, when did she get married?
In the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Like just recently, my nephew married an American girl from Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a nephew, Paul's daughter, married a Japanese.
What about in the 30s and 40s?
I would say people used to try to, you know, but I don't think we were...
You weren't aware of any instances of that?
No. Yeah, because people used to talk. I know people talk. Yeah. People used to say things. I mean, they mixed marriages and things like that.
What do people say?
Well, oh, they said terrible things. I mean, this is an old story. It was even, I was still in San Francisco, when they say, there was one family, I don't know them too well, but I just hear talk because between the ladies, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they say, oh, this girl married this American man, it's ridiculous, he said, because even animals, you want a thoroughbred and not a mongrel, you know. and I said, gee, that's terrible.
And the lady who said that was Chinese?
Some Chinese. They were very old gossip.
Uh-huh.
It was an old gossipy woman. We don't even know these people, you know. I'm sure my mother don't even know these people.
You overheard them?
Yeah, I just, you know, they come and talk.
And did you know of any parents, you know, Chinese who had second generation Chinese who had third generation Chinese here? In other words, you know.
Oh, yeah, because like a cousin of mine, she's a Kwan. She married, my memory's getting terrible. Married one of the people who owns a grocery store down. And they own a grocery store too. And her daughter just recently married a Mexican. We went to a great big wedding, you know, complete with the down
yeah,
in Chinatown with the big banquets and everything.
But back in the 40s and 30s,
you don't hear much about that.
You don't hear much about interracial marriages,
yeah.
True. What about people's attitude toward getting a Chinese education? You don't hear, specifically the people in Los Angeles, the Chinese in Los Angeles. Did you hear any instances?
I don't think the Chinese in Los Angeles, the way, I don't think they even have a good school there, Chinese school.
Well, did the Chinese parents send their kids, you know, dutifully to those schools, or do you think they do?
Well, I like the Wu family, you know, my sister's family, they even send one of their sons back to China to study.
So in general, the people here felt it was important for their children
yes,
to learn
right,
Chinese.
Yeah, because Mr. Wu Hayes, he was the first Chinese banker in Los Angeles, as a matter of fact.
Do many people in China, in Los Angeles, return to China?
I think a lot of them do. There are a lot more than San Francisco. I shouldn't say that. Because you see San Francisco having a bigger Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
so they feel more at home with all the Chinese. Whereby when down here, I used to say, so-and-so is, if the paper would say, so-and-so is going to China again.
No, I meant, do people go back to China to settle down after they've made money?
I think so.
Money?
I think.
How many people did that? Are you aware?
Well,
in the 40s. Not after the 40s.
I would say
30s and 40s. In Los Angeles.
Yes. I could tell you specifically because these are the only few. As I told you, my mother had an interest in packing house.
Mm-hmm.
And three, they were from the same district that my parents came from,
mm-hmm.
my father's. Three of them that they did very well here, you know, as butchers.
And, mm-hmm.
They went back to China, and they married, and they came back. They brought their wives back.
But they didn't go back to settle?
No.
You don't know
these
anybody?
Were younger people, you see.
How about older people who go back there
those
and be buried there?
I think there were some. I heard about it, again, from this store, you know, from this butcher shop, the packing house. I know some older, but at that time I didn't really bother too much about these older people. These three that I'm talking about, they were younger people,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Yeah.
I would converse with them, you see. And I knew, and they said, gee, where's so-and-so? Well, he went back to get married. You know.
Did people usually go back to China to get married, or did they?
These three did, but they came from China, you see.
What about the people that were born here? Did they marry Chinese-American girls, or did they also
go back to China? I think they married Chinese-American girls, because particularly down here, then they were more exposed
mm-hmm.
to the Western ways. Mm-hmm. One thing, though, like in San Francisco Chinatown, that is not true. Because why we were at the store, why was from 26 through the 30, through 34,
mm-hmm.
I can point out people who's been in America for 20 years, Zheng Guai and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, right, that never been down to Market Street even. Because they were so contained. They were actually in an island,
mm-hmm.
a total Chinese island. That's the reason why during that time, when I was there, I was involved, I sing and dance Chinese things, you know, and I joined a Chinese poetry, Yangxi, Zhongdui,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
What did you think of Chinese schools?
Well, by the time, I mean, the tutor, the first tutor that came over, he turned out to be a dope addict, you know, opium.
You didn't like him?
No, I didn't dislike him. Only I knew he was a little sleepy, you know. And I didn't have him too long, maybe 1 or 2 years. But my brother and the other, the older ones, they had him for a long time. So what happened, he did go back to China. And then another from his same cousin or something like that, then came over. And then he started the school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it became like a public school. You paid to go there. In
mm-hmm.
other words, he was not brought over. Like the first one was brought over by my father. That's a different story.
Oh, yeah, we were running on two tracks here. Let's finish up the one about Chinese going back to China to stay. Were you aware of any Americans, any Chinese in Los Angeles in the 30s and 40s who returned back to China to stay?
I vaguely know of several. that went back because he got elderly and went back. I mean,
oh,
he was at this butcher market, that's all. But beyond that, I didn't bother. Because I'm not I'm not intimate enough to know about these things. I just go down to the store, I mean, because I would get my meat there, you know, because we have connection.
What did
so
you think of Chinese schools in general? Your impression? Do you think they were valuable or not? Do you think they were a waste of time? Or do you think
well,
they were helpful?
I tell you one thing though, like my nephews in San Francisco, in Oakland, I know you're asking about the Chinese school here, but I have to
know how I want to know how you feel toward Chinese school.
Because
you
I have these
Oakland.
Two nephews, and let's see, Ty is in his 20s, and Guy is in his, oh no, I mean he's yeah, in his late 20s. And they went to Chinese school, but I'd be doggone if they know anything about Chinese, if they could read. They can just bear, because the parents begin to speak English to them. Yeah. And because they're all the idiot
so
boxes
useless,
there, so it's
useless for them.
No, because and they can't read anything at all.
But they are present. They're
presently there. They went through the they went to the regular Chinese school in there, which was run like a an American run school. You know.
But this was in the early '70s, probably.
Yes.
I'm just talking about those days. In your days, how did you feel about going to?
I loved it.
Loved it.
Oh, I loved it because I mean it was so rich. I mean the language. And like even now, I write to Hong Kong.
What about movies? How did you think the Chinese were portrayed in American movies?
Bad.
Bad.
Stereotype.
Did you make any protest about it? Did you do anything?
When they were doing, I would say, you see, only I could only do things that when I feel I can do some good. And while at CBS, I always, if the producer did something, I would say, particularly like the Hawaii Five-O, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got acquainted with the producer and I tell him that, if anything, I offer my services. I say, anything about Chinese you want to know, let me know. And I get all the scripts anyway. If I read the script, let's see, I have to read all the scripts. And then they present me wrong. I immediately call them and I say, this is wrong, this is not good. And they,
what about earlier, like in the 30s and 40s, did you
At that time,
do anything?
No, I had nothing to, I was not with the, the 30s and the 40s, I was in radio business, and I would have nothing to do with motion.
Were the Chinese ever portrayed in radio shows?
Very little. Very little.
When did Chinese start getting into appearances?
Because you see,
films.
At the 30s and 40s, there were Chinese in films, and it was there was a tight clique of, there was a man, I forgot his name, and he speaks Cantonese. He's even before, he was from the 20s, you know, he's from the Anna May Wong period.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I understand he is an American, but he, I don't know how, I understand, I did remember hearing him talk, you know. I wasn't too familiar, he was in the 30s, he was pretty elderly already. And he was an agent, and he was in Chinatown, and he was the agent, like if the motion picture needed Chinese, they would go to him and he would hire whoever didn't do anything.
Right.
And they would run a whole clique and they were very exclusive, so I didn't know. Didn't have anything
who were they? Do you know who they were?
Oh, yeah.
What his name? What this guy's name? Do you know?
Gene. Everybody knows him. I just saw him once, but then the one who is very, really prominent is the woman who became an agent. What is her name? She has the ins to the early motion picture people agencies and all that. She, I think she became an agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she did become a casting agent. Did you ever hear anybody say that they were not happy to be Chinese or they wished they were something else? While you were in Los Angeles? Earlier.
No, I don't think I ran into cases like that.
What about the 30s and 40s, the Chinese in the movies? How were they portrayed?
30s.
Evil, sinister, like that?
Well, yeah, those, I mean, I really hate. I mean, like the Fu Manchu things, you know, of course that's even
before.
That was before. Fu Manchu, that's before the 30s and the 40s even. And I don't think there was, I mean, in the 40s, 30 and the 40s, actually, they were beginning to have, I hate the Japanese movies, you know, and played by Chinese, in the 40s, yeah.
In the 40s, yeah, they had anti-Japanese.
In the
movies.
30s, I don't know, the 30s were very big on musicals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't too many, you know, because the Broadway musicals and all, the musicals were becoming very big. So the 20th Century Fox and MGM were vying for supremacy in making musicals.
I see. If you don't think this is too personal of a question, how much were you making in terms of your salary back in those days, in the 30s and 40s, and was that amount the same as an American doing the same work you did?
I would say I was making more than the American. Because
how
I
much
said,
was
mean,
it? Could you give me a figure?
Oh, I mean about between 200 and 250 a week.
In the 30s? Late 30s?
Oh, 30s, no. 30s, 180. Yeah.
A week?
Yeah.
That was for McGregor?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Because you see, as I said, I was hiring people. You know.
When you started hiring,
the moment I moved down here in San Francisco, I begin to see the... as I told you from way back, well, look, I mean, like when you go into the store, I mean, my father's business, you know. The main thing is to be the boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the boss is behind. So when I went in there at first, in 1929, I joined, I went into there. And then I 46, I was making 250 a week.
In 46, you were making 250 a week.
Yeah.
How much was the average worker in America making at that time?
Oh, I think they were getting about 150
a week.
Yeah.
I see.
And the girls in the office were making very low. And of course, mm-hmm. when I was in Army, I was getting double pay. You know, I continue to produce this show, one show a week, and I get 150 for 1 month's work. And then I had the army pay.
Uh-huh. Did you feel that your job was a chance to break out of the stereotypical jobs usually associated with the Chinese?
Yes, I think so. And I said I owe it to the Chinese background, or my background to do that.
What do you think was the key to your success in your work?
I would say hard work. Hard work. And then number two is to have a positive feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back to it, it's like I said, I mean, I owe a lot to the Chinese classics.
What about your acceptance by non-Chinese? Do you think you were accepted by them?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I mean, my fellow workers.
Fellow workers.
Yeah.
And your social circle was about the same as your working circle?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, And it's very funny, I would say the clothes were made basically Jewish. Oh, no, although, you see another thing too. I help people grow. I have one recently, when I left. These are the people that...
Yeah, and you were talking about the...
Oh, no, it was about this composer, a young man, you know. And,
no, in general, about
oh.
the success.
Hard work.
Hard work and being helpful.
And I think the most important thing is there are always crises, is to be positive and get over the crisis.
Okay.
That is a must, because it's inevitable, it's a day and night, you know. Yin yang, you know, it's always. It's always things will go wrong, and then you have to just pull yourself together and work it out.
Okay, thank you.